Okay, we give an opportunity for a time in the Word to, for people to express their thoughts, comments, or questions. So yes, go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, Susan came up to me at break and just mentioned kind of what the Lord was doing in her heart. And so that got me thinking about some things, too, about just reflecting just the what the Lord does. And as you were talking, then in the second half, I began to think about that. What? Hi! just began to think, you know, what Susan had shared, and just at the going through the DID stuff, the real basis was a profound disappointment in the Lord because of that expectation that he was going to deliver. But understanding that what I thought he was going to deliver and how he was going to deliver, you know, we had this fantasy, romantic idea that he's going to come on the white horse and, you know, okay, we'll call upon your name. Well, why didn't you come? Well, then I had no other choice. I'm going to serve Satan. And so acting out of rebellion and anger and hatred toward the very one who did not deliver in that same expectation. And so
that would be a physical, temporal deliverance rather than the spiritual side.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was both.
Well, the spiritual happened in new birth, but the temporal, the physical, all the horrible things you go through would be similar to what the Jews then. They wanted a physical deliverance.
Yeah, yeah. So it was that same mentality.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, toward the end, I was thinking about that. It was like, okay, well, Lord, I don't understand my whole frame of reference of who you are. I have no idea how to relate to you as God or as Jesus Christ. In this manner, you are so other than I am in my expectation. So he began to reveal, Ephesians 3. You know, all the verses at the end is like, well, that is God. Is so different that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power. Whoa, okay, well, I got power. I want power. Well, where's power? Through his spirit in the inner man. I'm like, oh, I have that power already. Then what the heck did I miss here? And so he had to begin to teach me. Little by little, because of my poor little capacity, so fleshy, that power began to tap into that resurrection power of his life that lives within me, that was capable of delivering. And beginning to do that, then things began to shape. And so in a sense is what I always call, you know, you flip your system. And so then there comes the flip of like, whoa, then I, you know, you spend your life, well, yeah, if I just can't, Lori can't relate to this, but she remembers because I drove her nuts and the people around me, if I just, and Doug too, if we just counsel long enough and hard enough, I will get to the bottom of it. And there's like very, okay, I think we got to the bottom. I think this is it. And Lori's like sick to death.
14 hour session.
Yeah. So that obviously wasn't the answer. So
we were making slow progress.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were making good progress.
Some of it was essential.
Yeah, yeah. No, and God definitely used it. Had to break all that hardness of heart and that old man down. And so so God uses everything, you know, as a Romans 8:28, and that whole process becomes a sanctification. And so as you were even talking about today, that verse that really struck me was the one that Jesus came back at, you know, well, if this kingdom, I can't quote things, but if this were of this earth, then my people would be fighting for me. And so guess what he's doing now? He's teaching me how to fight for his throne rights. And what? Where is his kingdom? Within people. And in his body, in his temple. It's not for this earth, but it's so that he could have a many-membered body, the fullness of the stature of the body. You know, I can quote these things. That the whatever, and so that we can be. Thank you. So we can, so that he can fully have that, and really in this last year, it's become even more so. Listening to Ludi, listen to the background of what our inheritance is here on this earth, or you know, and what the pilgrims came to do here, and taking the land. I thought, wow, that's right, Lord. Okay, I'm in, so that you would have your kingdom here. And so,
his inheritance,
right.
In his people, not and on earth, but not in his people.
Not on earth, but mm-hmm. in his people. Mm-hmm. And so, that is so different. And then as I got to thinking more about that, too, is knowing, you know, when we started out the counseling stuff, I knew that whatever I was doing was just breaking a hole in something so that others could follow. And there had to be enough collective amount of those of us who were substantial enough to come out so that the heavens can be shaken. Heavens can be shaken on heaven, and now, what are we looking for? It's being shaken on earth. And so as you were talking about this insurrection and the people of the Christians that are corporately, they're coming, they're, you know, corporately, it's gonna, you know, it's coming out. Like, whoa, okay, this is kind of interesting, because now that which was hidden for so long, and those of us who are SRADID, there it was, in a sense, most of us wouldn't have been involved in the length that we were had there not been some level and degree of disgruntlement toward God. At least, you know, I can speak for myself in that he didn't deliver me. Because there's the rebellion and all that stuff. And so there's that collective stronghold then of that disappointment in God. And so as that's coming down, now we're seeing this manifested on earth. Yeah. In the Christians, of a collective stronghold in the body of Christ that says, no, I don't want this Christ, in a sense. That without realizing that he came as a lamb. He came on the back of, why a donkey, you know, and came in humility and meekness. And this is the age now for that, of humility, of meekness, of love, of the fruit of the Spirit. And how is that inwrought in me? And when these things that actually undo the satanic kingdom. And God had to teach me how to do that internally. And to undo that, not by power or by might. I mean, it took Doug, yeah, major jackhammers just to break through, just to get humanity to learn to do that. Obviously, you have to have that. I'm not negating that. I had to have it for sure. Those of us who are pretty hard-headed and crawling with demons, we had to have it. And so, but at the end of the day, where the integration occurs is that, if you know, the verse in Ephesians, through meekness, through understanding his nature and character, and that's where things come together internally. And that last stronghold, at least for me, was like what you described at the very beginning, that Merkavah. I didn't have words for it, you know. All I called it was a centrifuge, because all I knew was, dang, I got it. It was formable. That I knew. This formable thing. And then getting there, I'd bounce out every single time until I had my full humanity. And every time I would get bounced out, I'd throw up. And so I'd spin all over the place. And so, had to have my humanity just to get in there, to anchor in there, and to stay in there and displace that thing And when it was displaced, it was as if I saw Satan slinking off as a coward. Mm-hmm. And just saying, yeah, I'm defeated. I'm defeated. And off he went. And so that was really, and that's what it took. I mean, it wasn't like any big fanfare or anything, you know, big warfare. It was just finally I got my humanity and went in there without getting bounced back through his power and through his might. And so anyway, those were just thoughts that were going on in my head.
Go ahead. Yeah. Who has it? I don't know who would answer. Was it you?
Yeah,
I was asking.
I mentioned something.
That's okay. You go ahead. I'll follow with you then.
Well, I don't want to say anything that may need to be solved with a little more help. But today just spoke everything to me, you know, what's been going on. And so I don't know if it's appropriate for this time or not.
Why not?
But this just summarized my whole history today.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I
we're
have...
We're going public. This is it. Everything's out in the light.
I want to repent before all of you for what I have been. Great. Because I feel like when we're talking about the apostasy in the church, we are the strong base for that apostasy. It is our own apostasy. And when I talking about... Friday night, you know, how many times we've tried to get into this place in me and I'd get that bloody nose and we never get in. We never get in. Because right in front of me were the principalities of the unholy trinity. And they were my defense. And nobody was coming in there.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, you know, my nose bled just a little bit, just a little. And it's like we went in. The resistance was down enough that we got in to that place.
And if the fact is you were in an assembly, not in the council session.
Right.
Assembly time.
Right. But that's acknowledging where I am, and I'm still a little bit caught there. But off of that came that, because in that place, I only knew rejection of the Lord for my fathers. I was rejected. There was no kingdom for me. And so off of that was the anger, the disappointment. I could have been Judas Maccabeus against the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go after my own kingdom because I saw that as my only way. And I think those of you who know me, the position that I've held, I was perfected in that place. And it worked against myself, I mean, keeping me in that broken place too. Because in that kingdom that I accepted, in that satanic kingdom, there was no place for weakness. I despised the weakness of Jesus Christ, just like Hitler and anyone else. And I turned to the power of their gods. And that was I bought into the lie. And I'm here today. And I just want to confess this publicly. And I repent because I know that the cross is the wisdom and the power of God.
Yes, amen.
And I declare that today.
Yes.
And I am so sorry for the years that I have spent pursuing this. And what is meant to the body of Christ, and I can only ask, Lord, that you remove the power base of this apostasy in me and others off your bride. That they might see and turn towards you. And everything that's in me that's been directed towards keeping people locked and looking inward instead of outward towards you. I just pray that you would release them with your mighty hand and they would see the truth of who you are and who they are. In Jesus' name.
Yes, and the truth of who Susan is.
So that is what today's message meant for me.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. First of all, I just...
Could you pick that up?
Sure. I don't want to... First of all, I mean, I just want to thank you for the message. I kind of keep up with the news, not, you know, I don't go on the TV and watch news there or anything, but...
Please.
Huh? Okay. So I watch different things or listen to different things, and I told you the other Sunday I kind of get upset about some of the stuff that's going on in our nation. But God's really been using it and speaking into my heart, really coming to a place of realizing there is no winning. The way it's set up, there is no winning excepting from God's perspective. And so I just want to, you know, Ivan and I've been talking, and where I just humbly submit to what God has for us as a nation, but more importantly, what He has for us as an assembly, and to come into alignment with that, not fighting what He's wanting to do, not looking to some person, you know, to rescue. And I really appreciate what Sally said, because the whole DID thing is that, you know, it's just all these things. Well, no, I don't want to, I think it was just last weekend, Susan, remember the whole Nimrod? No, I don't want to let go of him, or I don't want to this. I need him as my protection in case everything goes bad. You know, I still have something I can fall back on. And, you know, well, okay, I'm not DID anymore in that sense. But are there things in my life that I still kind of think, well, I can kind of control things, the outcome of all of this? And really, I just think God's more and more putting us into a place that in ourselves and in the things around us, there is nothing that we can cling to, nothing that we can grab hold of for some comfort or whatever. We're coming into harder times than we've ever experienced. So I just appreciated the perspective going back to the biblical example of what you pulled out and saying, yeah, you know, and Jesus is our Savior. Am I going to look for somebody other than Him? You know, whether it's internally or whether it's flesh or whatever, am I going to look for something other than Him? And then just also wanted to say to you, Sally, because I know that you had nobody that went the path before you as far as other women. You were the person that the Riggs had to plow through with and had no other frame of reference other than you.
Pioneers pioneering.
Pioneering the way. And I just want to acknowledge you for that.
Yes.
That was very, very, very costly for you. And very misunderstood,
yes,
even by others within the assembly.
And especially me.
And, you know, just where people would have their issues about all of that, just wanted to say that I believe that the years that you plowed through and were diligent, and then along came others, you know, all of that opened up, pushed through portals and doorways and locks and everything for us to be where we are today with the ladies that are in the journey yet. So just wanted to thank you. You were really instrumental in, I believe, in helping me to be able to come through, because I had no clue. And then Doug had practiced some on you, and you'd say, oh, well, this is how it works, sir. You know, you'd encourage me. So I just wanted to publicly validate you for that, and for your diligence and perseverance.
Yes, so, I agree.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lori. You sit here.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead, Lori.
Well, Friday night at prayer, because it was a real... thank you, Mark. It was a real important prayer meeting. And I think we've been experiencing more and more unity as the strongholds are being brought down, and that we're actually experiencing the unity, you know, not just standing on John 17 or our oneness in Christ, but experiencing it. So, but there were a couple of proverbs that, in light of what Doug shared today, you know, some, I don't maybe think people right here in our midst, but maybe some who of our precious brethren that are listening, that are alone, that do not have assemblies, that don't have other people, they're seeking God by themselves, yet united, you know, with the remnant in Christ. But so I'm just saying these verses so that they can be encouraged. But if, you know, I'm not going to read all of Proverbs 1, 20 through 33, but I would say read that for those who are listening. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33, because it's wisdom, wisdom personified, wisdom crying out in the streets. And, you know, sometimes this is how I think, Lord, what does everybody do with their, like, what's everybody doing with their time? What are all Christians on the face of the earth doing? You know, you give us X amount of days, X amount of hours. What have we been doing with our lives? Because we're alive right now for such a time as this. And has our whole life up till now been preparation for that? It should have been. Because the Lord purchased us, we are not our own. And so it should have been all given back to Him. And so that's wisdom crying in the streets. I'm here. Are you going to hear my word? Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to lay hold of me? Are you going to let me live my life through you? And it talks about calamity, how the Lord will laugh at our calamity.
If we choose not to fear him
and hear him, and will mock when our dread comes. But those are the verses that you can read on your own. But I want to encourage you with verse 33. It says, but he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. So that can be true of us. And that will be a shining testimony to those around us. Say we are put in a FEMA camp. Well, there's going to be others around us who will have the glorious opportunity of reaching because they will see we are at ease from the dread of evil. We're not worried. We're not upset. So that's Proverbs 1:33, and Proverbs 3, let's see here, 24 I'll start with. Well, actually, talking about wisdom again, I'll start with 22. So they, wisdom, will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. When it comes, not if it comes, when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So, yes, there will be snares. There will be traps for us. But the Lord will keep our foot from being caught. And then I was also thinking about when, I think it's in Psalm, let's see, where is it? It's about, Psalm 16, 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lines or the boundaries have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And along with that, Paul says to the, when he is speaking about the unknown God in Acts 17, And he says, and he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. And I think how the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. In other words, God knew we were going to be alive in this generation. He knows all of your background. I know every survivor, victorious overcomer that I've ever known has been afraid of suffering again. Suffering, even suffering that even begins to touch what they've already been through. And I believe that as they go on, the Lord has assured them that he will keep them in that time, that he will see them through, and that they may not even have to suffer in that way.
I don't believe they will.
Mm-hmm. That God in his mercy will not make these victorious overcomers suffer in that way. Mm-hmm. But for someone like me who hasn't been through that, I have to just say, Father, you knew that you were going to put my soul into my body in this generation. And so my boundaries are perfect. You set me in the USA, in this generation, in this time of human history, and I don't need to fear. I don't. Now, maybe perhaps on the onslaught of any particular thing that I'm not used to. Say, I'm used to spiritual warfare. I'm used to being persecuted by principalities and powers. I'm familiar with that. But what if there is somebody at my door with a gun or a mob out in the street? I will have sudden fear. The Lord says, do not be afraid of sudden fear. But so at that point, then I have the choice to say, oh, yes, Lord. And I believe his grace will so overcome me that, you know, he'll take me through that time. But for all of us to remember that God is sovereign, to encourage ourselves in the fact of who he is, the appointed boundary, the set times that he placed us here on the earth, and that there really, it is a really, it will be the church's shining hour.
The true church.
The true church. The remnant. It will be our shining hour, where there will be such glory brought to the living God that we will praise him and thank him for the time in which we were born. So I just wanted to have us encourage our souls in the Lord, encourage our hearts and minds with his word and with the reality that he knows what he's doing.
Yes,
we can trust him.
Anyone else have any thoughts or questions? Any of the saints? Anyone else?
I should have something.
Go ahead. Yes. Go ahead.
I think what was resonating with me is kind of takes me back to this the current theme of T. Austin Scott, the Sons of Levi, where I just sort of looked at it from that perspective and thought, you know what? They were doing exactly what, how can I say, what was happening with Israel back at the time of, let's say, Baal. Yeah. They chose what was natural over what was spiritual. So they chose Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas, versus Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As the spiritual solution.
Yeah.
So, and that for me was, okay, and that's right before his crucifixion, in which he becomes the first fruits of many, you know, many brethren.
Yeah.
And again, in what you were saying, we face that again as the assembly of the firstborn,
yeah,
the first fruits, we are facing that again. It's yet again another choice. Are we going to choose the natural or are we going to choose the spiritual? And I think even down into the minutiae of things, because nobody really knows what tomorrow brings in any shape or form, but even more so with global lockdown, with no work, with whatever each of us is facing. In the small things, are we going to choose the natural over the spiritual? And, you know, I think that for me is, am I willing to put the sword to the natural in daily choice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's speaking to for me is, you know, it's a fine line when your bread and butter is put on the line because you won't take a vaccine.
Yeah.
And I know that's imminent in my industry. I know that because they're going to scan us. They're not quiet about it. They're bold about it. So I look at that and I go, okay, well, that's going to take a whole nother leap of faith, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, it comes down to that for me and just listening to what you were saying and in which I've not seen before is the reason for choosing. It's the age old natural tendency of the unresurrected man is to choose the natural versus the spiritual. But we have that choice now. We have that as the assembly of the firstborn, we have the ability through Christ to choose the spiritual each and every time. Mm-hmm. It's just a choice, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, good. And I just, again, just refer you to even the last message that's posted. It's on our teaching page. Dennis Holmes, he spoke on Colossians 3:1-4, if then you died with Christ. And then seek the things that are above where Christ sits and where your life is hidden with Christ and God. And also the article, not the article, but the message that you're referring to is the most recent posting on the AustinSparks.net website under the book section. It's the most recent posting. It's titled The Sons of Levi. So I trust that you're all keeping up with that. They're sent out to us as soon as they are posted. There's only one more chapter to be posted. This will really help you synchronize and be in to where God is seeking to bring his people today. It's very contemporaneous, so it's a very important message, so I appreciate that. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments or questions?
Just for those who aren't on the list, you know, Mark sends out to several, about 100 people or so, all of the announcements and the new postings, but for some of those folks that come to our website and aren't on the list, they might not have noticed the fireside chat with the three brothers last Monday. This is Doug and Dennis and Larry Jones speaking. They're going to be doing this maybe for a while on Mondays. So make sure you hear that because it's really a neat coming together of these three elder brothers in the Lord.
First of all, just appreciate, too, the perseverance. 6-plus years with you, Anastasia and Nadine, and you is kind of the locking mechanism. And then with Juliana and all the, how this is unlocked, the way God's providentially brought us together with you on the that which is on the Nimrod Apollyon side is Anastasia and you is Michelle. How God has brought about the convergence of where we are just this last week is really, it's a big thing. And Haggai says that God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 12:25, God will shake the heavens and the earth. So to whatever degree this has been a shaking of the heavens journey, especially from the first of the year, you know, with you coming forward, Susanna, to where we are today, to whatever degree those heavens are shaking, it is removing the shields off of Satan. I was thinking with you, Mary Jo, that you were kind of clothed in armor. That armor was to be weaponized, you know, whatever the motive was, every one of you were weaponized against Jesus Christ, against his church, and against your own heart, that first trust in Jesus. You were layered and structured to be a weapon. When you choose to reclaim all your life and connect with your history, then that which is weaponized by Satan becomes the full armor of God in Ephesians 6. And when that full armor of God is released and been removed off of his Satan, you know, Satan has armor. He's the strong man. He has armor. And when that armor is removed, which is a stolen life essence and all this rebellion and everything that's allowed it to be there, as he's stripped of that armor and he has no more armor, rapture is going to occur. Okay? So we're getting real close. So his rows of shields, the Leviathan, are coming off, all that which we see is the veil over the nations, Isaiah 25:7. As you study the Word and you've been in sync with what God has been doing here, there's a lot of synchronization and convergence going on. I mean, in massive acceleration. And so, as we wake up each day and kind of think, well, Lord, what's the kingdom assignment going to be today? And, you know, He definitely keeps your schedule. If our times are in His hands, which the Word says, then He has a schedule for each one of us. And I want to make sure everything that's on His itinerary, by Ephesians 2:10, those works foreordained in eternity past that we should walk in them, I just want to make sure I'm not missing any of them. Okay? I want to make sure I arrive and stand before Him, and everything that He has told me what to do is done. And what was it, Livingston, or was it C.T. Studd?
Studd.
When he died, he said, I know that I have done everything that the Lord has told me to do. Mm-hmm. In other words, he knew that he had fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. And he knew he could depart. So, just want to comment on what you said, Sally. I think is really significant that the Jews, they didn't have a son of David, you know, to deliver them from Rome. And so they were easily turned by the Sanhedrin, and they apostatized, and they agreed to choose Jesus Barabbas, the freedom fighter, the criminal in the eyes of Rome, instead of Jesus, the Christ. And so, when Jesus returns at the second advent, He returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we come with Him. We're His bride, Revelation 19. He is returning to Israel as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But before He returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, in heaven, where the marriage occurs, Revelation 19:10, hallelujah, verse 6, the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lion has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Is that what it says? Marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And so you have to have a lamb wife before you can have a lion returning. It's the Lamb that's on the throne. 27 times in the book of Revelation. You have Amnos, which is lamb, but Arneon is the diminutive. We could say little lamb. And so it's the Lamb who is seated on the throne. So all of that which represents where the church is going to end will be somewhat parallel to the trajectory of how Christ ended. There'll be martyrs, like there are now, and there'll be those who are alive and survive until the Lord's coming. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. So the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. And that's why we do this DID work. We do the DID work so everyone that has this background can minister to the Lord, so all of your humanity that was once the bride of Satan, or the bride of Nimrod, Apollyon, Christ, or Michael, you can be here and become a part of that wife of the Lamb who's made herself ready. And it was given to her, the wife of the Lamb, to clothe herself in fine linen, royalty. That means you're going to be the wife of the wonderful king in Psalm 45. You're dressed in the regal royalty, the golden robes of His divine nature. You're His complement when he comes back, Psalm 45. She is dressed in fine linen, royalty, bright and clean. That is pure. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Not imputed righteousness, but all those works done. Righteous acts. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So saints, ask the Lord, are there any acts that the head would seek to complete in you before your time's up? Either rapture or martyrdom or death. And then wanted to close with this in John 18, when John's account, when Jesus is brought before Pilate, I think a second time, you'd have to count on that. It says, Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium. This is John 18:33. In the praetorium, that would be the palace of the governor as well as the guards that occupy that place. And they summoned Jesus and they said to him, John 18:33, you are the king of the Jews.
Are you?
It says, you are the king of the Jews. That's what my Bible says. You are the king of the Jews? Question. Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own account or initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered and said, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world, does not derive, does not have its source in the satanic cosmos ruled by Satan. If my kingdom were of this world, had its source in this cosmic system ruled by Satan, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. It is not here, from here. Pilate therefore said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my word, hears my voice. Then read John chapter 8. They didn't have a clue what truth was. It was standing right in front of them. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish that I release for you the king of the Jews? And therefore they cried out again, saying, no, this man, not this man, excuse me, not this man, Jesus, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was an insurrectionist. So, Father, we thank you for the word that clearly lays out not only who you are, your purpose and plan, your divine nature, but we can discern by your spirit where we are in history and your purpose for the time in which we live. So we sanctify and set apart that which has been released today to best serve you and hasten the coming day of God, bringing the church to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ and bringing in the fullness of Gentiles. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.